It is America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listener-sponsored digital radio. Around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com, on the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course on the beloved NSN app. Well, it is always a delight when Rabbi Pesach Kron joins us. He's a prolific author. The number of books is just amazing. The number of projects and lectures is even more amazing. The brand new book is called From Sorrow to Celebration. It's an ArtScroll release. You know our recommendation. You go to ArtScroll.com. Make sure to use promo code RADIO24, because every time you use that promo code, you get free shipping on any amount and a major discount on ArtScroll products. The brand new book by Pesach Kron is called From Sorrow to Celebration, the 3 weeks Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av, inspirational stories and insights from the Maggid. And again, go to ArtScroll.com. Make sure to use promo code RADIO24. Rabbi Pesach Kron, what a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
It's great to be here. I always love to come on your program.
I greatly appreciate that. And I must say, and I said this earlier in the show, and I've joked with other authors in the past who've written about Eicha and Kinnis and the 9 days, how throughout that entire period of time that they're writing the book, they're in the throes of the depression and sadness of the time. Leave it to you, Rabbi Pesach Kron, to release a book about this time of year and it be a book literally that is upbeat, that is inspirational, and that gives everybody a reason to keep on going. I never thought that a book centered on this period of time that we're in right now could do that, but of course, you have accomplished that. So all we can say is congratulations and thank you.
Thank you, thank you. That's the greatest compliment that you could give me about this book, because that was really my intention. I didn't want that people should just wallow in the sorrow of the 3 weeks, but rather take every aspect of the 3 weeks, the Haftorahs that we read, the Torah portions, the ideas and the concepts, and bring positive things. Now, for example, I'll give you just a small example. Yesterday was Shiva Asa Thomas.
Right.
Now, I never realized until I started writing this book that we read the same Haftorah that we read yesterday, Dishu Hashem Bihi Matzoi. We read it on all the fast days.
Right.
3 out of the 16 psukim talk about observing Shabbos. Now, what has that got to do with a fast day? If you take a look at it, Yeshaya Novi is talking the importance of Shabbos. And the Radak says, the reason is because the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Kuf Yud Testament Beis that one of the reasons for the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash was people didn't observe Shabbos properly. And so I have in here 3 fabulous stories about Shabbos and the Mesirus Nefesh, and they're so amazing. And one of them took place in the Nir Oz kibbutz in Israel on October 7th, and it is so elevating. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to take the 3 weeks, Tisha B'Av, the 9 days, and just see how we can elevate our lives.
And to that end, you made sure to include Tu B'Av and inspirational stories and yard sites of individuals in Tammuz and Av that, again, whose lives and whose specific stories would be uplifting. So you really, you took a sad period of time and you found an amazing angle to present it in a very inspiring way. And it's just funny to me because, again, I don't know how many authors over the years I've spoken to this time of year about Kinnis, about Eicha, about the 9 days, and we always joke on the air about, you know, we're jealous of those who are concentrating on a Purim book, you know, for the last 12 months. It's better to be enveloped by a Purim atmosphere than a 3 weeks atmosphere, and you go ahead and you release this Kol HaKavod, From Sorrow to Celebration, the 3 weeks Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av, right, Pesach Kron. And by the way, folks, two things. First of all, I honestly, and you and I spoke last night, Rabbi Kron, for a brief minute, and I literally was in the middle of taking notes on the book, and I had to stop because I said to myself, I can't ask you about every single story. So I have snippets that we're going to review, which is usually the format when you and I get together, which we'll discuss in a moment. But I must tell you, I actually, and shout out to Rabbi Gedalia Zlotowitz and Rabbi Sherman and everybody at ArtScroll, and obviously you've been working with them for God knows how many years. And I had a discussion with him about stories when it comes to October 7th. 7th, and how, you know, so many people, including their publishing house, have concentrated on the heroics of the day and the heroics of the aftermath of that terrible day. And I didn't think there was enough attention being paid to the Israeli soldiers. And sure enough, Leave It Try Pesach Krohn to prove me wrong. And I'm and it's funny because a moment ago off the air, I stopped you from telling me, you know, your take on this story, because it's in my notes to discuss it with you. Kol hakavod to you. Kol hakavod to you that you have glorified, while so many others, unfortunately, and I know some people will find this hard to believe, question glorifying Israeli soldiers. You glorify the incredible commitment and sacrifice that the soldiers make, all of them. And, of course, rightfully, you highlight those who are spiritually inclined and really, you know, brought an extra special level of spirituality to what they were experiencing both on the 7th and in its aftermath. That having been said, Rabbi Krohn, could you tell us what happened up in the Waterbury Yeshiva on Shmini Atzeres?
Well, I'll tell you exactly, and I've spoken to the fellow numerous times, and his mother is a fellow, Levi Yitzchok Stark, S-T-A-R-K, who's part of Triplets and was born in Eretz Yisrael about 25 years ago. And when he was about 20, so he decided that he wants to learn in a smaller yeshiva where he would be able to focus more closely with his Rebbe, and he came to the Waterbury Yeshiva. Now, he was there for a year and a half, and then his mother called him and said, listen, the Army, the IDF called you. You're an Israeli citizen. You were born here. You got to come back and do your tour of duty in the IDF. And he came back, and he was a sergeant for a year and a half in the Israeli Army. They told him at the end that he could continue or he was free. And he decided to come back to the Waterbury Yeshiva, and he was learning with this fellow, Chaim Bernstein. Now, on the day of October 7th, if you recall that Shabbos, all of us in any shul that we were, although we couldn't tune into technology, we knew something was going on.
Right.
Now, this boy, Levi Yitzchok, he also heard it, and he went to his posek in Waterbury, who was in the yeshiva there, and he said, should I call Israel? Because they might need me back. You know, I'm one of the reservists. He said, call right after Yontif, but don't forget, he is only one day Yontif.
Right.
So he was able to make that call Saturday night.
Right.
And he makes a call, and he comes back. Now, don't forget, it's Simchas Torah in the yeshiva. And I cry every time I tell this. He walks in after that phone call, and he's crying. His face is pale, and everybody stops back up. He said, Levi, so what happened? And he begins telling the horrendous death, the horrendous, marauding, terrible what's going on. And listen to what they did. They stopped the Hakofas. They gave him a Sefer Torah. And the whole yeshiva danced around him, singing, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. Could you imagine what that must have been like? You know, 120 guys. And this is a guy that they know. Oh, they're wondering if they're ever going to see him again, because Monday morning he's going back to Eretz Yisrael. And he did go back, and he served in the Army. I spoke to his mother numerous times. He was never allowed to tell his mother at what, where he was in Eretz Yisrael, whether the north or south or whatever. And he served his tour of duty, and he came, and then eventually, listen to this, Chaim Bernstein, his chavrusa, was raising money for soldiers and people that were displaced in the north and the south, and he was going to Israel. So he called Levi Yitzchok's mother and said, what can I bring him? She said, I'll call him. And he said, Levi Yitzchok said, just bring your Gemara. I just want to learn with you again. And there was a fabulous picture of Levi Yitzchok in his green uniform, holding his gun right by his side and sitting and learning together with Chaim Bernstein. And then eventually he came back, and this is hard to believe. He came back to Waterbury, and he just got married to a girl from Kew Gardens, Shoshana Wiener, and I was at the wedding. It's just so amazing to be in his presence and know he's a kid who could have stayed. He came back, and now he's married. Just fabulous.
Well, I mean, the fact that you've highlighted how the yeshiva treated him and how they went ahead and highlighted his incredible commitment to both Torah and the defense of Israel and the Jewish people is just wonderful and remarkable and something to be admired. And again, those who are doing that, I just I can't acknowledge it enough. And then the other part that you just emphasized, which is, and there's a lot of tremendous Torah study going on, and I'm never going to minimize it, tremendous Torah study in many yeshivas around the world and in Israel. I don't have to tell you, Rabbi Krohn, it's all over the place, Baruch Hashem. But the incredible commitment that a soldier like this, who has this responsibility, one that requires that he not inform his family members even where he is. You can imagine the level of responsibility that he had, that his greatest wish is to reunite with his chavrusa, and one can only imagine what he's doing in his spare time. Spare, of course, in quotation marks, but you and I know what he's doing in his spare time. So that Torah, like everyone else's Torah, is just extremely special and really helps to elevate all of us. I'm so happy you printed that story, and it sounds like...
I want to tell you another story that happened. You know Rabbi Yaakov Giver is such a wonderful person to love in Boca.
He's the greatest. I know him for a long time.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy. Listen to this. He went with 25 guys to Israel to give chizuk on the war front and in the places where people were displaced. The first day that he's there, he's speaking to a group of soldiers, and a guy comes over to him and he says, "Rabbi, can I speak to you privately?" And he said, "Of course." And he said, "Rabbi, I want you to know I was at that concert. And I saw the parachutes coming down and the drones, and I heard the shooting, and I just ran for my life. I left my friends there. I just ran. I didn't know where I was going, and I saw a forest. I ran into the forest. I saw a ditch. I jumped into the ditch. It was 5 feet deep. I bent down so that nobody would see me." He said, "I was there for 5 hours. Until I heard the screaming stop, the shooting stop, and everything was quiet. Then I crawled out, and I was, by that time already, soldiers were coming in that area, and I was able, they took me to a highway, and I was able to get home." He said, "Rabbi, I haven't put on my tefillin in 10 years since my bar mitzvah. I've got them here. I want you, please take me back to that ditch. I want to put on my tefillin in that ditch and say Shema Yisrael." And Rabbi Giver told me that he said, "Of course, we're going to rent a bus with security." And a group of about 10 guys went down with this guy, Tomer, who's got long hair and a ponytail, and he put on a kippah, and he took his bar mitzvah tefillin that he still had with him, and they went to that forest. He knew exactly where it was, and they all walked with him. And when he was outside that ditch, Rabbi Giver put on a pair of tzitzis to him, and then he said to Rabbi Giver, he said, "I'm afraid to go down myself. Could you come in the ditch with me? And we'll say Shema together." Imagine Rabbi Giver and Tomer climbed down into that ditch and said Shema, and everybody was crying. Now, all he knew was Shema and Baruch Shem. He didn't know the rest of the parsha, and everybody said it together with him. Oh. And that's what's happening. Like you say, there's such a increase and a connection to Hashem by so many.
I got it. First of all, as you're saying, I mean, we all know this, and thank God we've had an opportunity to speak about it so many times. The increased commitment to Jewish ritual and things that are, you know, important when it comes to Torah and mitzvot amongst the entire Jewish nation, but especially in Israel, has been incredible. And you write about it in many different contexts, tzitzis and otherwise. But I got to tell Rabbi Krohn, I don't know if you know this story yet. I don't know if you've seen the video yet, because I don't know how long it takes you to catch up on the viral videos. But yesterday, Channel 14 News on television in Israel, a young woman is delivering the news, and she tells everybody she's not a dati, she's not a religious woman, whatever that means. She's not, you know, she's not ritually observant. Let's put it that way. I don't like saying that someone's not religious, not for me to judge. Anyway, she says that because of the situation, she decided to take it upon herself to fast on Shivasar Batamus. She announces this. And then, clearly already at night, she, to the audience, the video's available, I could send it to you, to the audience, she lifts up a cup of water, says Shahako B'Shem U'Malchus, and drinks the water to break her fast. I mean, you know, A lot of people may not realize how significant that is, but people are doing life.
Of course, life, we have a holy nation.
People are doing life-changing activities just to assist other people's lives.
Right.
Which is amazing. All right, Pesach Krohn is with us. The book is called From Sorrow to Celebration. By the way, on that topic, and I know that this is not a war topic, but a lot of people in this audience will recall the story of the terrible, terrible, tragic murder of Libby Kletsky. But you have a story in the book, I think it's in proximity to the Waterbury story, where a young boy made a commitment to put on tzitzis because he thought it would help in the search at that time for Libby. And sure enough, years later, we know that that small act was a life-changing act for him. So it's not just wartime. People do it when they feel a kinship towards somebody who's in trouble or towards somebody who they feel needs their prayer or their commitment.
Right. And one of the things that I wanted to broaden the book was what you mentioned before, the yahrzeit.
Right.
There are so many people, great people over the years who died during the 3 weeks until Tubov, and I have a little biography about each one, the date of the yahrzeit, and a great story. And I think you'll love this story. I'm sure you knew Rabbi Bowman. Rabbi Nachman Bowman, did you ever hear of him?
Of course.
Okay, so listen to this story. His yahrzeit is also during these 3 weeks.
Right.
And one of the greatest stories I ever heard, I heard from Rabbi Nissen Walton, the editor of the Jewish Observer at the Agoda. He was Yom Kippur in Or Sameach, and Rabbi Bowman got up after Kol Nidre with his kittel and talus. He looked like an angel. And he said to all the guys in Or Sameach, he said, I want you to know that tonight is a special night, and it's a night when fathers give a bracha to their children, and it's called Birchas Habanim. But your fathers, all of you in Or Sameach, you know, of course, they bought you, your fathers wouldn't know what to bless you with. So I'm going to give you the blessing, except I want to tell you some history. He said, when the Ponovizhilov came after the Holocaust, and he built the Ponovizhi Yeshiva, he built an orphanage. And everybody thought he would call it Beis Yisaimim, but he called it Batei Avos. And the reason he called it Batei Avos, the home of the fathers, he said, because I don't want them to concentrate on their past. I want them to look at the future. They're all going to be fathers and grandfathers in Eretz Yisrael. And he said to all of you here at Or Sameach, you all have a great future. You made that step. You came to authentic Yiddishkeit. So I'm giving you tonight a bracha, but I'm calling it Birchas HaOvos. Can you imagine how beautiful that is?
Unbelievable.
To give all these guys and to look at their future. And these are the kind of stories that I have on the yahrzeit of these people.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And by the way, just so the listener knows and appreciates the breadth of the book, in addition to speaking about the 3 weeks and Shavasar B'Tammuz in general, you speak about the Haftorahs and Tisha B'Av itself and Eicha and thoughts about the Beis HaMikdash and the Talmud that one should be studying on Tisha B'Av, because we know there's specific parts of the Talmud to be studied on Tisha B'Av, and the topic of Avos Yisrael and Shabbos Nachamu and Tu B'Av and the yard sites, as you said. So there are so many aspects to this time of year. We're loaded with so many different things that should be dominating the thoughts of all of us, of all people in our faith this time of year. And you have a great review of all of them. By the way, I, as an aside, I've heard the Rav Gusman, Professor Alman story multiple times. I think many of the time.
Oh, yes.
And nobody writes it like you do. Nobody writes it. I'm just letting you know that. And also, I got to tell you something. This time of year, you hit me with that camp acceptance story on page 187. You have a section in the book on Avos Yisrael, as I said, because obviously increasing our love for our fellow Jew is always important, but no more important than this time of year, because we know why the Beis HaMikdash in our tradition, why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So we try to increase our love for a fellow Jew. And this couple, you know, never, because of their financial situation, never had had a problem getting their child into anywhere or really ever had a problem attaining anything because they were financially so stable and able to afford anything at all. And it came to this quirky situation where their son was not registered for camp and ended up on a waiting list. And the mother says to the camp director, once he's accepted after being on the waiting list, that she never had an appreciation for those who don't have. It's such a, I never thought a camp acceptance story could be one that would give us a message of being sympathetic to what others are going through when they need something and can't obtain it.
Right. I thought that was such a great love. And the woman who she's paying for or the family will never know it.
Right.
And that's the ultimate of Avos Yisrael. When you do like a matnas chinam, she feels the pain of other people that she never felt before. And she goes and does something about it. It's just incredible.
It reminded me, by the way, the late Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb once said, it's easier for me to get somebody into Einstein Medical School than into Camp Barasha. So it reminded me of that, how certain camps have some incredible eras when everybody just wants to go there. JM and the Amateur, I Pesach Krohn. For those who are looking for Shidduchim, page 272, Rabbi Krohn, just keep doing as much chesed as possible, as the nurse in the hospital learned, and God may just drop that chassan right in front of you. Agreed?
Right.
I mean, people have to read these stories and see what we're talking about, but literally, if you continue to do chesed, and I think you included this in the Tu B'Av section for good reason. You're talking about a shidduch, right?
Right.
So you included
the
Tu B'Av.
Right.
You know, keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, and at some point, God will send the right shaliach to lead one in the right direction.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you read the most controversial story in the book.
Let me hear.
It's called A Model Lesson. It's on page 139.
Yeah.
And it's about somebody that you know, Shana Kramer. This story happened with her.
Yep.
Now, I had printed this story way back in when I wrote the book in November 1995, Along the Magid Journey. I never, ever got more compliments or criticism on a story. And I just want to and I tell you, because of that, I wrote a little introduction to this story so that people should know before they let their kids read it. Maybe the kids would be frightened or turned off by it. I thought it's one of the greatest stories ever. Hmm. And can I share it with you?
Of course.
Okay, so what happened was, in many, many years ago, there was a camp for Orthodox kids from the Midwest, from Dayton, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Cleveland. It was in Aurora. What happened was, the first day of the camp, the head counselor announced, when all the kids were in the auditorium, that every bunk this year until till visiting day is going to build a part of the Beis HaMikdash. And they gave out laws of the Menorah and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach and Aron. Every bunk had different things that they were going to build. And they said it that they're going to put it together for visiting day. So when the parents come in a month and a half or whatever, that they'll have it displayed out in the field and the parents will be able to see how beautiful it is. And what happened now, it was Tisha B'Av was 3 days before visiting day. And what they did is they put out the whole model of the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody had finished it. It was out in the field, and they surrounded it by a fence. And what nobody knew is that there was somebody in a tree. It was dark, so nobody could see it. And he had a fireball that he was going to light.
Oh, my God.
And there was a string that was going to come down, and it looked like it was coming from the sky. And it would explode right into that Beis HaMikdash. And the whole thing went on fire, except the Kaiso, because that was watered down so that it wouldn't. And the kids were screaming and crying. And they couldn't believe it. Like, this is all that they had worked for. And then once everything, the fire died down, the camp head counselor said, boys and girls, it was a camp of boys and girls from the Midwest, and he said, this is what we're crying about. We should be crying about the loss of the real Beis HaMikdash. This is our Eitzim Vavonim. And he began talking about that this is only symbolism of what the real Beis HaMikdash was. And there were kids that came up and said, are we going to have it ready for visiting day? And he said, you didn't get the message.
Oh.
The message was, you know. Oh. So some people said, how in the world can you do that to kids? And other people said, who still remember the story today, yeah. 50 years later,
yeah.
that's the greatest thing they ever experienced in camp.
Yeah.
And that's what Shana Quinn feels
well,
about that.
Well, I'm an old timer, so I agree with that. I think it was a great idea. And boy, and nobody will forget it, especially this time of year.
Right.
That's remarkable. Right, Pesach Kron is with us. And by the way, page 353, you quote the Yerushalmi that's so famous. Kol Dorosheinu Nivne Beis HaMikdash B'Yamav Malin Alav Ki Iluhu Hecharivon. You know, I mean,
right.
It's hard to compare that to summer camp, but, you know, we have to remember that we're supposed to have this feeling, just like we're supposed to have the feeling
right.
at the Pesach Seder that we left Mitzrayim. We're supposed to have the feeling
yeah, right.
as if we're in that generation of the Beis HaMikdash having been destroyed. So, yeah, it's a stark, difficult reminder for kids of a certain age, but I don't know. I think it fits right into our tradition, frankly. Not that you need my endorsement. Right. Hey, Pesach Kron is with us live via telephone. All right. Obviously, we're running out of time because that's always the case when Rabbi Kron is on. So let me get to a couple of things here. First of all, I never even thought of this. And I thought I know everything when it comes to the Jewish calendar and its quirks. But the fact that the Shlosha de Paranusa, a lot of people are familiar with the Shiva de Nechemta, the seven comforting Haftorahs that start with Shabbos Nachamu. Many don't realize that the three Haftorahs during the 3 weeks are of a completely different nature. And Rabbi Kron, as you point out, and I think it was Rabbi Belsky who you quoted, if not, you'll let me know in a moment, each one of the Haftorahs of these 3 weeks, beginning with this Shabbos, begins with three different words, Divrei, Shimu, and Chazon. What could you tell us about these three unique openings?
So Divrei obviously is words, Shimu is hearing, and Chazon is vision. And that's really what happens with Sinat Chinam. When you talk about others, or you listen to others, or you look at certain people in certain ways, and that was brilliant what Rabbi Belsky said, that those are the first words, and that each one of those can lead to Sinat Chinam.
Wow.
And that's so important in the concept. And then, of course, I try to bring stories, you know, along those lines. But what I couldn't get over was that the Haftorahs afterwards are just so incredible, because Veschanan is again pleading, Re'eh is seeing, and then there's the third one also that it is just this the Veschanan, Re'eh, and Akev Tishmon, right. So you have those three things, again, hearing, seeing, and listening.
So
and that's the antidote.
So the three
parts. So here you have Shimu and Chazon, and then you have Eschanon, Re'eh, and Akev Tishmon.
No, that's brilliant. And that's, of course, the three parshios after Tisha B'Av.
Right. And a fellow and Rabbi Yaron Halbertal told me he heard that from a rabbi.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. That's absolutely phenomenal. All right, it would be wrong of us not to discuss this story with that involved Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz of blessed memory.
Oh my goodness!
We recite the Asara Haruge Malchus. Many people in this audience are familiar with the fact that Tisha B'Av is one of the occasions when we talk about the 10 martyrs, and I never gave it a second thought about why it's the number 10 and their fate, etc. And Rabbi Zlotowitz was eyewitness to an encounter that involved Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Rabbi Kron, could you tell us about this?
Okay, so this is on page 195 in the book, and Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz told it to me himself, that he had learned at Tiferes Yerushalayim, and he was very close to Rabbi Moshe, and he would go to ask him his questions. And one time he was waiting in the other room, and he overheard that there were two people that were in a Din Torah, and what happened was that once Rabbi Moshe finished the Din Torah with them, he said to one of them, let's say Reuven and Shimon, he said, Reuven, tell Shimon that you moichel him. And Reuven said, Rebbe, you worked it out. You know, there's no problem. Everything is fine. you know, I'm not upset at all. No, he said, no, I want you to say specifically that you're Michael him. He said, yeah, I'm okay with that. You know, you worked it out. I'm not angry at all. He said, no, you have to say it specifically. And, of course, the person did say that he was Michael him. And then when Rabbi Zlotowicz came in, he asked the Rosh Yeshiva, why were you so insistent that the fellow say specifically? And he showed him a Rabbeinu Bechaya, and you could look it up. It's in Parshas Vayechi. It's unbelievable, really, when you think about it. He said that the Asari Haruge Malchus, those were the 10 that were killed. It was like to make up for the 10 brothers that sold Yosef. Binyamin wasn't there, so that's why it's only 10 and not 11. But Yosef, they were worried once Yaakov died that Yosef would get even with them. They thought that maybe while Yaakov was alive, you know, that he's not going to do anything to them. But once Yosef died, they were worried. And they said, you know, we're sorry. And he said, Vayanachim Osam, and Bereshis Nun Pasuk Chafalos. But he comforted them. Vayadaber Aliba, and he spoke to their heart. But the Moshe said he never said that he forgave them.
Oh.
He never used those words.
10 brothers.
And 10 brothers. And that's why there was still an account to be paid. And that was the Hasura Haruge Malchus. And I try to bring out so many times, we get into an argument with somebody, you have to be able to say, I forgive you, or have that person say, I forgive you. And that's just an incredible, incredible story.
Rabbi, it is incredible, and I love the fact that it spans so many years. Even all those years later, the responsibility that one has toward their fellow Jew, just remarkable. Rabbi Krohn speaks about the 3 weeks, Shavasar Batamos, the Haftorah that we read on fast days, the Haftorahs that we read during the 3 weeks, as we mentioned earlier, Tisha B'Av, Eicha, the Beis HaMikdash, the Talmud study that we have specifically on Tisha B'Av, Avas Yisrael, love for one fellow's Jew, Shabbos Nachamu, Mashiach, Tu B'Av, and the Yahrzeits, as we mentioned, because there are many, many greats that passed away in Tammuz and Av, and Rabbi Krohn highlights many of them with some great stories toward the end of the book. Rabbi Krohn, what can I say? It's phenomenal. Again, not to need my endorsement, but there's just something about how you present things that just, you know, I feel like even the stories I was reading yesterday in preparation, I feel like I'm just, you know, swimming in incredible inspiration when I read your stories. So I thank you for that.
Oh. Oh, that's so beautiful. I just want to say one of the things that I'm very proud of is the appendix in the back. I spent hours and hours putting together the years, both the Hebrew years and the secular calendar, from the time the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael until the second Beis HaMikdash. And all of a sudden, on this appendix on page 354, you get to see the whole history, and you get to know when they came in, when David was born, when Shlomo was born, when David died, when Gedaliah was assassinated, when Esther became the queen, when Tito besieged Yerushalayim. So all of a sudden, you know, it took hours and hours to put this together, and Rav Nosson Sherman, who knows history back and forth, he would not let me get away with a fact unless it was verified.
And you made sure to thank Rabbi Matisyahu Cantor and Rabbi Beryl Wine. And we wish a happy birthday to Rabbi Wine. His milestone birthday is this week. So, yeah, and you took the opportunity to thank them because their research.
Right. They both had fabulous works that, you know, that helped me immeasurably.
Rabbi Krohn, I can't let you go without paskining a sports shiloh for us. I can't let you go without
that. Okay,
you know that. This is the only forum. Am I right, Rabbi Krohn? When you're invited to
100%.
When you're invited to a yeshiva on a Thursday night, there's never a sports question, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, this one's very simple. The question is, if it doesn't interfere with Torah study or with Mincha Maariv, should I watch President Biden's speech tonight or the Yankee Met game tonight? What's your psak, Rabbi Krohn? I need to know.
It's not even a question. Of course, the Yankee game.
Do you think the Mets are going to go for a full season series sweep of the Yankees? Do you think that might happen tonight?
I mean, you know, you got to give Francisco Lindor a credit for that speech. He turned around the team.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that issue what words can do? You know it, what words
That's
can do, right.
Right? He didn't let the manager in. He didn't let the coaches in. And he just spoke from his heart. And, you know, you didn't think he was that type of guy. But yeah. Look what's happened.
Brilliant observation. You never know where leadership is going to come from. And, you know, we know it in our own tradition. Look what's going on these days since October the 7th. Look how many leaders have emerged that we never even would have heard of in advance of that terrible day. And as we started, we continue to pray for the hostages and continue to pray for our soldiers. And Rabbi Krohn, I can't thank you enough for highlighting them, and I can't thank you enough for this incredible work. Thank you. Congratulations. And
you're
one of the few people celebrating during this time of year, so enjoy it.
Thank you.
Always a delight.
And it's nice to know you have that still great same laugh. Keep it up forever.
I appreciate that. There he is, the one, the only, right? Pesach Krohn. Go to artscroll.com. The book is called From Sorrow to Celebration. From Sorrow to Celebration. Use promo code RADIO24 for your major discount and free shipping on anything from Art Scroll, but especially Rabbi Krohn's brand new book, which I'm telling you, folks, you might think a book about the 3 weeks and 9 days is going to get you down. Just the opposite. That was my whole premise here. I opened the book yesterday when I first got it, and I'm like, oh, no. Is this going to be like, you know, am I going to be diving into the whole 3 weeks thing? I mean, there's plenty of 3 weeks in it, but my gosh, the inspiration and the positivity is just amazing. Check it out. From Sorrow to Celebration, artscroll.com. Make sure to use promo code RADIO24. Major thank you to the one and only Rabbi Pesach Krohn. More coming up Wednesday at JM in the AM.